Chapter 2. Brad's Problem. Up till the moment of the collapse of the U.S. financial system, Brad Katsuyama could tell himself that he bore no responsibility for that system. He worked for the Royal Bank of Canada, for a start. RBC might be the ninth biggest bank in the world, but it was on no one's mental map of Wall Street. It was stable and relatively virtuous, and soon to be known for having resisted the temptation to make bad subprime loans to Americans or peddle them to ignorant investors. But its management didn't understand just what an afterthought their bank was, on the rare occasions American financiers thought about them at all. Brad's bosses had sent him from Toronto to New York back in 2002, when he was 24 years old, as part of a big push to become a player on Wall Street. The sad truth about the big push was that hardly anyone noticed it. As a trader who moved to RBC from Morgan Stanley put it, when I got there, it was like, holy shit, welcome to the small time. Brad himself said, the people in Canada are always saying, we're paying too much for people in the United States. What they don't realize is that the reason you have to pay them too much is that no one wants to work for RBC. RBC is a nobody. It was as if the Canadians had summoned the nerve to audition for a role in the school play, then turned up for it wearing a carrot costume. Before they sent him there to be part of the big push, Brad had never laid eyes on Wall Street or New York City. It was his first immersive course in the American way of life, and he was instantly struck by how different it was from the Canadian version. Everything was to excess, he said. I met more offensive people in a year than I had in my entire life. People live beyond their means, and the way they did it was by going into debt. That's what shocked me the most. Debt was a foreign concept in Canada. Debt was evil. I'd never been in debt in my life, ever. I got here, and a real estate broker said, based on